Every email you send, every report you draft, every text message you compose, these aren't just transmissions of information. They're acts of thinking made visible. The cruel truth about writing is that most of us learned it backward. We were taught that writing packages ideas we already have, like wrapping a gift. But that's not how it works at all. Writing is the unwrapping, the discovery, the moment when you realize what you actually think. This is why sitting down to write that simple memo suddenly reveals you don't quite understand the issue yourself. The blank page isn't mocking you, it's teaching you. And this lesson matters far more than getting an A on a paper or impressing your boss. Clear writing is clear thinking, and clear thinking changes everything. Ever tried explaining compound interest to a friend, only to pause mid-sentence? Your explanation falters, not because they're slow, but because you've just discovered gaps in your own understanding. This is writing's secret power. It demands precision that mental contemplation never requires. When Galileo wrote his astronomical treatises in everyday Italian rather than scholarly Latin, he wasn't being populist, he was thinking more clearly. Plain language exposed weaknesses in arguments that sounded fine in his head. Darwin spent years writing On the Origin of Species because the act of writing kept revealing new implications and problems with his theory. Your struggle to express an idea clearly isn't a vocabulary failure. It's your mind doing the hard work of understanding. When you improve your writing, you're not polishing a surface. You're rebuilding the foundation beneath it. This explains why journaling produces unexpected insights, why teaching forces deeper learning, and why history's best thinkers were obsessive revisers of their own prose. Try reading your coffee maker instructions or insurance policy. Notice how you stumble and reread sentences? That's not your fault, it's theirs. The Roman rhetorician Quintilian captured it perfectly. Write, not merely so that the reader can understand, but so that he cannot possibly misunderstand. Most writers settle for being eventually comprehensible. Real clarity means writing that cannot be misinterpreted, even by tired, distracted readers at day's end. Philosopher Karl Popper demonstrated the right attitude. When readers found his passages difficult, he never defended them. He immediately rewrote them, often multiple times. He understood that clarity exists between writer and reader, not in the writer's intentions. If readers find your writing unclear, it is unclear, regardless of how clear it seems to you. This isn't dumbing down. Einstein's relativity papers are remarkably clear. Confusing prose is fundamentally selfish, placing the burden entirely on readers. Your readers aren't your mother. They won't work to decipher your meaning. They'll simply stop reading. The best test? Read your work aloud after a few days. Where you stumble, readers stumble. Remember being told never repeat the same word or don't start sentences with and? These prescriptions often create worse writing. Writers twist themselves into knots using stated, declared, expressed, and articulated just to avoid repeating said when said works perfectly and fades into the background. The most damaging rule? Say what you're going to say, say it, say that you've said it. This transforms engaging prose into mechanical exercises that insult readers' intelligence. Winston Churchill understood this. He required government proposals on half sheets of paper, producing clearer, more impactful communication during Britain's darkest hours. Good writing rules come from observation, not logic. They describe what successful writers actually do, not arbitrary prescriptions. A double negative isn't illogical, it's just a social mistake in standard English. Once you learn basic rules, writing becomes a game, not a grim march, but creative flow. Like cooking or baseball, there's joy in getting a sentence just right. The best writers know their rules thoroughly, but wear them lightly, like jazz musicians who master scales before improvising freely. Write continuously throughout your project. Don't wait until research is complete. Writing exposes gaps in thinking that research alone never reveals. Always ask, "So what?" and answer it consistently. Style emerges through relentless rewriting. Hemingway rewrote the last page of A Farewell to Arms 60 times. Balzac revised novels up to 27 times. Virginia Woolf rewrote parts of The Waves 20 times to capture precise rhythm. Write as if conversing with a specific person, an intelligent, curious friend whose judgment you respect. This keeps prose consistent and prevents condescension or excessive formality. Try this technique. Revise immediately after reading admirable prose. For about 30 minutes, you can channel the rhythms of good writers. Reading Jane Austen might inspire comical ironies. Hemingway could inspire stripped-down sentences. Eliminate boilerplate, predictable prose that adds nothing. Focus on concrete details, specific examples, and fresh perspectives. Your readers are human beings seeking connection and understanding, not abstract entities or academic committees. Write with nouns and verbs, not adjectives and adverbs. During revision, cut modifiers first. Use active voice. Replace "active verbs should be used" with "you should use active verbs." Find the action in a sentence and express it in a verb. Change "there is a data reanalysis need" to "we must reanalyze our data." Flee the abstract. Singular words summon specific images, while plurals evoke vague collections. Prefer baguette to bread, bread to widgets. Replace natural resource-oriented exports with sheep and wheat. Anglo-Saxon words need, someone, feels, buys, bread, bake have a concreteness that Latin-derived words integrative, consequences, structural, differentiation lack. Avoid bureaucratic jargon. Replace via with through, delete the process of, choose one option instead of and or, and avoid respectively. Use idea instead of concept, people instead of individuals. Be wary of structure and process. They're often meaningless. Use typographical devices sparingly. If you need italics for emphasis, rewrite the sentence instead. Circle every this, these, and those in your draft. They force readers to look backward, interrupting flow. In most cases, the works better and keeps readers engaged. Reading aloud reveals flaws your eyes miss: awkward rhythms, unintentional rhymes, misplaced contractions. Don't write anything you'd be embarrassed to read to your audience. Mark Twain offered 7 rules. Say exactly what you mean, use the right word, eschew surplusage, include necessary details, avoid slovenliness, use good grammar, and employ a simple style. George Orwell narrowed it to 6. Avoid cliched metaphors, use short words, cut unnecessary words, favor active voice, choose everyday English over jargon, and break any rule rather than write barbarously. To improve, become your own harshest editor. Every unclear sentence wastes time. Every confusing email creates frustration. Every jargon-filled report obscures rather than illuminates. But every clear sentence is a gift. It respects your reader's time, clarifies your thinking, and contributes to a world where ideas can be understood and acted upon. Start today. Open that draft you've been avoiding. Read it aloud. Circle the dead words, the empty phrases, the stumbling sentences. Then rewrite, not to impress, but to be understood.